We've been considering the words that Jesus speaks to disciples. And tonight I just like to look briefly at the passage we have in Mark 10. Mark 10, beginning at verse 17. Dad already gave the sermon, so if you heard what he said and remember what he said, you have it. All right? So I'm not going to ask you, but maybe you could ask yourself, what did Dad say? What did Brother Gordon say? Anyone want to venture an answer? One of the things he said was, the fool has said in his heart there is no God. What else? Did he say something about the things we have? Did he say something about our possessions? And a man's life doesn't consist in the things that he possesses. They're just things. Well, in this account of a young, say a young ruler, came to Jesus. He had a question. I'm having trouble finding it. Mark, right? I said Mark. Mark 10, verse 27. Hallelujah. Well, let's start at 17. That would be better. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered. No one is good except God alone. Now we had a similar question asked of Jesus when we looked at the parable of the Good Samaritan. You remember that? That expert in the law came and asked the same question. But it says there in Luke that he came tempting Jesus, testing him. But it seems that this ruler, this young man, came with a sincere heart and asked this question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus answered it for him. You know the commandments. Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and mother. Teacher, he declared, all these I have kept since I was a boy. Wow. I've told you this before, that when I was a camper here, I was a camper with Brother John Schreck there. And I think he was gooder than me. If that's possible, I don't know. I do remember one thing, and he's smiling. It's a good thing. We were in the cottage together, and they had this, we studied the armor of God. You remember that? And there was this big cutout of the armor of a soldier, you know, with the armor of God. And the best kid got to take it home. Who do you think that was? The only reason I remember is because John got to take it home. And I didn't get to take it home. I don't know. No, you don't have it, see? It's one of those things that pass away. It doesn't matter, right? But this young man was a good young man. He kept the commandments. He did what the law required. I really believe he was sincere. And the reason I say that is because when Jesus, it says Jesus, and I've always loved this verse, Jesus looked at him and loved him. Jesus looked at him and loved him. He saw something in him. He saw that he was honest in his response. He saw that there was a desire to please God. He saw that the question he asked was real. It was from his heart. Jesus looked at him and loved him. And I think what happens next and what Jesus says next wasn't to push him away. I don't think Jesus was trying to make it difficult for him, as it were, to become a true disciple. But when he looked at him and he loved him, I think he saw something in this man. You know, Jesus can see our hearts, right? I mean, he knows our thoughts. He knows all about us. And I think as he looked at that young man, he said he saw something in him that was keeping him from being a true disciple. And so he addresses that thing. And what does he say? One thing you lack. Go sell everything you have and give to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. You know, I wonder if he was, if Jesus was saying to him, just like he said to those first disciples, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Didn't we look at that right at the beginning? One of the first words of Jesus to disciples is, follow me. And these words come to this young man. Follow me. Become one of my disciples. And in order to do that, you're going to have to do something. You're going to have to sell everything you have and give to the poor. How did the man respond? What does the Bible say? At this, the man's face fell. He was sad at that saying because he had great wealth. Dad spoke about things that we hold on to, that we think are so important. And this man had things. He had great wealth. Just thinking again about that other expert in the law. When he came to Jesus and asked the same question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, well, how do you read? What does the law say? In that instance, the man quoted the two great commandments, right? What's the first one? Love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. And when I put that next to this story, it seems that when Jesus said, well, the commands you need to follow are, what was it? Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. And they kind of fall under the ones that we would say, love your neighbor as you love yourself. And Jesus, by asking him to give up his wealth, is really asking him to love God with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his strength, with all his mind. You see, that was at the bottom of all this. You've done all those other commandments. You've treated your neighbor as you wanted to be treated, but you haven't put God first. There's something that you've put ahead of God. You've broken the first commandment. You will have no other God before me. I want you to love me supremely, and something else has your heart. And so if you want to be my disciple, if you truly want to inherit eternal life, you have to let go of that thing. Whatever it is that has your heart. Now, maybe for me it's not great wealth. Maybe for you it is. I don't know. But maybe there's something else that we hold on to, or maybe that has our heart, and we don't even realize. It doesn't mean that you can't be a Christian. It doesn't mean that you're not going to church. It doesn't mean that you're not reading your Bible. But it seems that in every Christian life, there will come a time, there will be something where Jesus puts his finger on it and says, do you love that more than me? Do you love that thing, that person, that pleasure, those friends, that music, your computer, your iPhone? I might say those are little things. But how we worship them. We worship things instead of worshiping God. Putting Him first, loving Him more. And so I think that was really what Jesus was after here. It wasn't so much that the man had great wealth. It was that his wealth had him. He was not able to part with that. And what is it, again, I'll say it again, what is it that you're not willing to part with? When Jesus puts his finger on it and says, that thing's not right. Oh, it might not be bad, it might be terrible. But he says, that thing has to go. You have to let that go. You know, he was trying to grasp, as it were, to hold on to eternal life, and yet, what was he holding on to? He was holding on to what he had. The things of this life. Maybe you've heard the story, and maybe I've told it, about the man who had a little girl who wanted pearls. You've heard that story? She was a little girl. And so her mom took her down to the five and dime, right? Anything like that? No, five and dime store. Remember those? Five and dime. Oh, that was the dollar store, right? Let's bring it up to the 21st. Are we in the 21st century? Okay. The mother took the girl down to the dollar store. What did she buy? You know, she's got a little bit of money that she got for her birthday, and so she gets a little set of fake pearl, I guess. And she's so happy she's got a set of pearls. So she wears them all the time. She's a big girl. She got a set of pearls. Well, after some time, her father sees this and he decides, I want to bless my girl. So he goes into her room, tucks her into bed one night and says, honey, can I have your pearls? What does she say? No, Daddy, you can't have my pearls. I love my pearls, Daddy. Don't take them from me. And he does that repeatedly, you know. Next night, same thing, and the same thing. And he's persistent at it. And finally, I think she gets the message. She starts feeling bad about it. Why is Daddy keeping asking me to give up my pearls? So finally, one night when Dad says, honey, give me your pearls. She says, okay, Daddy. Tears are coming down her face. I'll give you my pearls. And when she places them in his hands, what does he do? Well, he reaches into his pocket and he pulls out a box. And what's in that box? Real pearls. He says, here, honey, I want you to have this. And I wonder if Jesus would want to bless us with a greater sense of his presence and his nearness. He'd want to put good things, as we heard this morning, give good things to us. He wants to give the Holy Spirit to us. He wants us to inherit eternal life. And I think that's not something that we put off, you know, to the future. If you think eternal life is something that's out there somewhere, I think we're missing the point. To know me, Jesus said, is eternal life. Eternal life begins here, now, as we learn to walk with him. And so what is it that we hold on to? God says, I want to give you so much better. And we say, well, I'm happy with these things. And maybe they're things God's blessed you with. But he wants you to give them back to him and open your hand. Go and sell what you have. Give to the poor. And why? Because then you will have treasure where? In heaven. come follow me. You know, I'd like to know what happened to this young man. I wonder if later on he realized his mistake. Maybe he was one of the 3,000 saved on the day of Pentecost. I don't know. But there was something in him that was seeking for God. And I believe that all of us here, and you young people, I believe that you're seeking for God. I mean, why else would you be at camp? I mean, is it because they pay you good? Is that why? Huh? I think we're all here because we want Jesus, right? Well, then, if he's speaking to you about something in your life that you need to let go of, then you ought to do that. I mean, we've said that God is faithful to speak to us. I'm not just saying tonight. But while you're here at camp, maybe God's talking to you. Maybe he's convicting you of certain things. Maybe he's trying to set our priorities right as adults. You know, the adults need to have that priority straightened out, right, Sister Jessica? We do. We have temptations, just like you do. The world calls. The world is all around us. It's there. And if we're not careful, things of this life creep in and they choke the word, as we find in another parable. Cares, pleasures, they choke the word. They choke what God wants to do. We miss out on the eternal blessings that God would like to pour into our lives. There's just another passage that I think just really brings this home about who we love and what we love. It's in Matthew 6. You don't have to turn there. I'll just read it to you. Verse 19, it says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." We had a man in our church recently come to us, and recently a Christian, and he shared one Bible study with us that he had a bad day, because in the morning, very early in the morning, he had gotten a call from the storage place, the store. You know, in New York, you store things because you don't have, well, maybe everywhere people store things, right? We have too many things, we don't know where to put them, so we rent a storage space and we put our things in there. And then we close the door and we walk away, and when do we open it again? I don't know. And so we had this storage bin and he had all these things in it. You know what happened? One of the workers in the storage place broke in and took some of his things. And so he, you know, his first reaction, he said, was to feel, you know, terrible about that. How could they do this? How could they take these things? And it was kind of interesting, because then when he told us what they were, it was kind of funny. They were toys. He was collecting toys. And, I guess old people collect toys. I don't know. But he wasn't really ever going to play with them. You know what I mean? So finally, it seems that the Lord was able to speak to him, say, you know what? The man took them. Well, I don't know the whole how that he found this out, but apparently the man didn't have money to buy toys for his kids, so he just helped himself to this fellow's toys and gave them to his kids. Now, I'm not saying that's right. But the point is, the Lord was dealing with him. He said, my reaction right at the beginning was, how could they do that? How could they take my things? And then he had to stop, and the Lord stopped him and said, really? It's really not that important, is it? So what is it that has your heart? Because where your, what does it say? Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. It goes on to say, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon, or money, things. And so there's the choice. Jesus lays it out to his disciples. Here's it. Here's the choice. And to this young man, here was the choice. Love God or love the things that you possess. Love God or love that person, those friends, the things of this world that maybe are leading you astray, keeping you back. Keeping you back from the blessings that God wants to pour into your life, the fellowship with Jesus that he desires to have. You want to be his disciple? Come, follow me. Follow me. My prayer is that God speaks to each of us. The Holy Spirit is faithful to convict us, to show us things that we need to let go of. And no matter where we are in our walk, whether you've just begun to walk with Jesus, whether you've been on the way for 50 years, the call is still the same. I want to you to love me first. I want to be your treasure. So let's just all bow our hearts before God. Thank you. sing that last verse, we'll just go to prayer. But I do have to just mention that tomorrow morning, being Saturday, we meet for table worship. Instead of meeting here after breakfast, we just stay in the dining room and have a time of worship there. So bring your Bibles with you, and we'll have our worship together. Let's sing the last verse.
All to Jesus I surrender.
Would you pray with us, please?
Lord, we do thank you for your word tonight, Lord. We do recognize, Lord, that you speak to us in the way that you do, Lord, because you love us and you always know what is best for us. And so, Lord, we say yes to you, Lord.
Yes,
pray,
Lord.
That this night, Lord, and in these days, Lord, you would remove the things, Lord, that keep us from walking as close to you, Lord, as you desire. Lord.
Yes, Lord.
As we go from now, Lord, as we stay and pray, Lord, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would continue to just work in our hearts, Lord, at this time. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Let's pray together.